The University of Missouri is home to numerous labs, but the Department of Human Development and Family Science, or HDFS, is perhaps one of the most extensive and historic that you can find. From education to research, HDFS focuses on the science of being human through interactions with family members, teachers, schools, peers, social media, and romantic partners. I'm Rachel Norden, and in this episode of Thinking Out Loud, I sit down with Dr. Megan Gilligan, an associate professor at HDFS who specializes in grandparents' relationships with adult grandchildren. A perfect discussion in honor of Grandparents' Day, coming up on Sunday, September 7th. So, with no further ado, let's tune in.
Now when I teach students who are typically in their 20s, I'll ask folks, you know, raise your hand if you still have a living grandparent. And most people will raise their hand and they'll say, oh, I have multiple living grandparents. And just this semester, I did that same exercise, raise your hand, and I had students who had living great-grandparents. And so as individuals are living longer, I myself study aging and the lifespan, and we think about individual longevity and individuals living longer. But as a family scholar and a family gerontologist, one of the things we're starting to think about is that families are living longer. So we have multiple families with three and sometimes four and five generations alive at the same time.
Which it kind of sparks a question for me around if these families are living longer and individuals are living longer. Do you see a lot of like intergenerational homes coming together again?
So, and it depends. So certain groups, certain populations have always been more likely to live together. And certainly, as we think about different economic times, families will make choices to live together. So that's one of the things that we're always kind of looking at, and we can see kind of shifts and changes. But definitely right now, at this moment, as we have these increases in longevity, we do see a presence of multi-generational homes. When we think about the presence of these multiple generations, there are kind of both benefits and costs to these relationships. And that's true of all of our family ties. And so in some ways, when we think about aging in general, we might think about, providing care to an older adult or care provision. And certainly, as we were talking about multi-generational houses, we might think about, a grandparent moving into the house so a parent could provide support. One thing we're also noticing as we talk about adult grandchildren is sometimes parents themselves are in the workforce or they're navigating other family responsibilities. And we're also seeing adult grandchildren actually providing support to an older adult. But the other piece of this is that as we have an increased number of grandparents, they're also able to provide support to families. And so sometimes, especially currently, there's discussion in this right now, is grandparents may be providing support to young grandchildren. Maybe in some cases, we're seeing increased prevalence of actually grandparents raising grandchildren if parents are not able to do so for a variety of personal reasons in their own lives. So we can really see this bi-directional support of not only what we might typically think of is parents and maybe adult grandchildren providing support to older grandparents, but also we're seeing increased numbers of the importance of grandparents providing support to grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of support carrying into the adulthood of that grandchild. You mentioned there's a lot more occurrence of grandparents raising grandchildren. Can you speak to as to why?
So I think we see different shifts in the social political economy, and we see parents becoming busy. So certainly maybe not in the sense of parents raising, but grandparents helping to fill some of those responsibilities in families and taking a more active role to help parents navigate raising children. In some families, we see that parents maybe for they're involved in military, they're being deployed. We're seeing situations where parents are dealing with their own personal things, maybe substance abuse or incarceration, where there is a gap and a need, and grandparents are filling that role. So they are situations where we would say custodial grandparents, where grandparents are having grandchildren live with them and providing the majority of that care.
So could you define to me, generally speaking, what age range these people tend to fall into? What is the adult grandchild, the parent, and the grandparent? Where are you seeing a lot of these age differences landing?
I was part of a study, a longitudinal study, where we've been looking at these families for several decades. It's called the Within Family Differences Study. And we have been following about 550 families. And we wanted to go back to study the bereavement experience of the adult children in the family and the adult grandchildren and the loss of that oldest generation. So these were adult grandchildren who were on average in their late 20s, early 30s, and their parents would be the baby boom generation. So at this point, they're in their mid to late 60s. And then these were grandparents who were in their early 90s. So we went back into the field to collect data on these families, and we were so surprised that there were more grandparents alive than we had anticipated. And so it certainly in some families we were studying the bereavement experience of these families, but in most of the families, actually, we ended up studying the three generational ties. And so we were not anticipating to have a study of multi-generational later life grandparenting families, but there were just so many of them that is actually what we are spending our time looking at right now.
Sure. Yeah, because I'm almost 30 and don't have children, but my grandmother had her first child at 17.
Yes.
So the lifestyles are just so different, mm-hmm. and yet we're all still alive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So you're like, yeah, that's what it's really kind of fascinating. In a couple of ways. I use the word generation to describe grandparents, parents, and children. But you also have these different birth cohorts. So I'm kind of thinking about generation and cohort. And so these are people who have experienced different economic times, historical periods, all alive and navigating that at the same time. It's really, I just think, a really kind of special experience.
It is. It's a little surreal. It most certainly is, especially when you put it in perspective of technological advancement.
You mentioned technology. One of the things that we realized is that oldest generation, we found that they were using technology to maintain contact with both their adult children and adult grandchildren. So they were sending emails and text messages, and we were able to look at that use of technology to maintain contact, and also maybe some of the frustrations that technology can have across the generation. So I think sometimes we make assumptions, oh, they must not be using it, but it turned out that they were.
So on the flip side of that then, do you have any experience or data around families that don't actually hop on to the technological train, are not able to get to that? What kinds of experiences are you seeing out of families that aren't able to bridge that gap?
So sometimes in the aging research world, we'll use the term digital divide. And certainly in a lot of the families that we were looking at, they were using technology and we were able to study that. But it is important to realize there is a lot of older adults, certainly a group of older adults, which is getting smaller, but for a variety of reasons. One, they just have never used it. It can be expensive, as we know, to maintain phones, internet access, and then also geographic locations. So folks in rural areas are less likely to have access to those types of things. The other thing that we're seeing is an increase to help older adults facilitate that. So sometimes it's accessing the resources, as we mentioned. So is there a way to get them access to those things if there's barriers to that? But sometimes it's facilitating, and adult grandchildren could play a really special role in this, is, hey, I'm going to get grandma this iPad and I'm going to show her how to use it. And then she can FaceTime from the iPad. And so just maybe a couple of sessions of setting that up, I think, could really help facilitate to minimize that digital divide.
That was Dr. Megan Gilligan, an associate professor at the Department of Human Development and Family Science here at Mizzou. If you'd like to learn more about HDFS and the work they do, visit their website at hdfs.missouri.edu. And remember to give your grandparents a big hug or a loving phone call this Grandparents' Day coming up on Sunday. I'm Rachel Norden, and you've been listening to Thinking Out Loud from KBIA 91.3 FM.